Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp. Welcome to Fightful. It's May 17th, 2023. We got a lot to talk about. I'll just plug things as they happen on this show because we have a ton to get into. AEW Collision was announced. We have Double or Nothing coming up. We had Dynamite tonight. A bunch of CM Punk stuff. I got more AEW news this week on FightfulSelect.com. I'll just tell you out of the gate. Subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. We had tons of news today on CM Punk, tons of news on Collision. We had news on Collision to begin with, when it would be announced, all that good stuff. I'm very proud of the work we've been doing there. Just $5. You also get like 8 or 9 podcasts a week. We got Alex Pawlowski here with us. Alex, how you doing?
Pretty well. It's been a very, it's been a day, as they say.
You're telling me.
It has been a day, hasn't it? In the wrestling news sphere, it has been a day.
Well, if you are a subscriber to FightfulSelect.com, you know the drill. You know how it's all unfolded today. Just before the AEW upfronts went on the air to announce AEW Collision, which we have heavily reported on, Fightful Select reported that as of this week, and again, anything can change, and boy, after today, I do mean anything can change. There was a hard roster split planned. In fact, last week I reported there, I hadn't heard anything of that nature. Then talent started to reach out, and they said, oh, buddy, it's a hard roster split because we're being told we are needed this day, we aren't needed this day, et cetera, et cetera. They were sent an email or a memo saying that will be addressed soon. A lot of mixed feelings on that. What I did hear was that champions, and not just AEW champions, like ROH champions, New Japan champions, are exempt from this. Before I ask Alex of his thoughts, and I get so excited to talk about this, please leave a thumbs up on this video. Please subscribe. We had an interview with Vinny Pacifico on Tuesday. We got Will Ospreay on Saturday or on Friday talking resurgence. Get your super chats and humper chats in here on youtube.com/Fightful and humperchats.com if you want your question or statement read on the air. They all get read, answered, and addressed if you donate. Alex, your thoughts on FightfulSelect.com's report that, again, as of last week, hard split was planned.
I don't mind a partial hard split. Like the top programs on each thing should be themselves, so that if you're really into watching whoever versus whoever, the top program on Collision, you know you can tune in on Saturdays and get that. And if you're not into what's going on Dynamite or vice versa, the top programs, then you don't tune into that one, or that's the one you DVR or whatever. But I think that there's an opportunity for, let's say, the bulk of the roster to be available on both nights, you know, to be whatever. Like, here's the thing. There's a match tonight we're going to talk about between Jungle Jack Perry and Roosh. Now, like, Roosh, that's not part of the storyline for Roosh. That's part of an overall building toward the pay-per-view for Jack Perry. So if you're like, okay, well, we'd love to have this showcase match for this guy. He's not facing somebody he's feuding with, but the match needs to be a showcase for him as part of the feud. We don't want to be like, well, we'd love to do it with this guy, but that guy only works Saturdays. Like, there should be an option to be able to do more stuff there. I like the idea, especially of the champions floating as need be. I understand why the logistics of being able to split the roster up would be best for a lot of reasons. I don't want to feel like they paint themselves into a corner with it. But we'll have to see, because it's hard to. WWE has messed up the brand split in so many ways recently that I'd like to see what AEW does with it to see if they could make it work properly.
We've got plenty of super chats about this, plenty of humper chats. Andrew says, Punk will be at Collision. This feels like a swerve. So let's get right into that. I want to make it clear what Fightful Select has reported and hasn't reported, because there's a lot of conjecture. We did report that CM Punk was planned for the press release. I saw that somebody kind of dug that up. Yes, he was absolutely planned for it. I don't know why he wasn't on it. I am not sure as to why that happened. I don't know if it's related to this Ace Steel thing. Some of you are saying, what Ace Steel thing? FightfulSelect.com did report that during this meeting, supposedly Chris Jericho brought up, yeah, you know, maybe we bring back Ace Steel in some capacity, show everyone that we can all work together, et cetera, et cetera. Obviously, I wasn't in the room. Hard for me to say. From what I understand, it was made clear that Ace Steel would not be at the television tapings as of this week. And I don't know what CM Punk's type of reaction was to it. I can tell you that I had heard that he didn't agree with it. So, you know, I can't sit there and say, oh, well, he blew up or anything like that. That would be irresponsible of me. Obviously, he didn't agree. I don't know if that has anything to do with the press materials. I can tell you that he didn't want to be announced that far ahead based on the people that I spoke with. However, I don't know what that means, or WBD saying he's not affiliated with this brand, et cetera, et cetera. Because if you're doing a hard brand split, that's a pretty big anchor that you're missing. Because that is like one that you need. You definitely do need an anchor like CM Punk there. There, you know, there's a lot of other things that were reported as if they for sure had to do with one another. I can tell you that there was like sort of an offer for Ace Steel to be doing some work with Punk, but it probably wouldn't be at the tapings. Punk wanted FTR and Andrade on Collision. We did report that. We reported that Punk versus Joe was planned. And that was in the fold as of last week. They had developed promotional materials for it as well. But we haven't heard a change in his status yet. I have not been told outright that CM Punk is not working Collision by anybody in AEW. He's still got his detractors. He's still got his supporters. I feel like this is the type of thing... in a day or two, it could change. A lot of stuff can change. I heard that the term that was told to me today was that Punk and Tony Khan had a hilariously positive interaction today. I don't know what that means. I can tell you that there was supposed to be a camera crew filming CM Punk at some point today. I don't know if that happened. Have no idea if it happened or not. But Punk also had some choice words for Brian Alvarez, who... I thought Brian Alvarez was calculated in saying this could be happening, but also it could be nothing type of thing. And I understand why a person like CM Punk would be perpetually mistrusting of media. I completely get it, given his place and given that he is always under a microscope. And quite literally, every time the guy plays Uno, it's news. and we contribute to that, sure. But that is the nature of some of this, as long as it's not like malicious in nature. Although Punk has been targeted in malicious nature in the past, and I'm not talking about recent, I'm talking like far, far way back, even like some malicious stuff that was like fed to media in the past. So I completely get why he has a distrusting view of media in that sense. However, he's going to be covered. Like, I can tell you in my few interactions with CM Punk, it had been like indicated to me, like, I wish people would just stop talking about me. And I'm like, well, we know that's not going to happen. Like, if you're in wrestling, you're going to be covered. Like, that's just the nature of coverage and wrestling and all that stuff. But Jam Beard says, what if the reason that TK didn't say where the premiere is because CM Punk will return to say it'll be in Chicago? Well, I feel like he could have done that today.
Here's the thing that we can speculate about the reasons why, but we don't. There's no speculation that is needed to say that there is a reason why CM Punk was going to be named in the first draft of this press release and now was not. Now, the reason might be we want to save and have CM Punk make the announcement of the first collision next week. He'll come out. They'll do a taped thing of him saying that next Wednesday on Dynamite. That could be the reason. Or the reason could be we thought we had everything nailed down for this contract, and there is some sticking point that may threaten to blow the whole thing sky high. We need this extra week to iron everything out, make sure we got everything, all the I's are dotted and the lowercase j's as well. And that might be it too, or any number of things. All I know is if they were going to say CM Punk's on board for Collision, but then they didn't say that, there's got to be some kind of reason why that happened.
I'll tell you what they did say. They said Regina.
Yeah.
Collision's going to Regina, Alex.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, that is a thing that is happening.
Yes.
The crowd popped immensely.
Yes.
For Regina. And I just want to say, these are my people. These are my people. Lots of Canadian dates for Collision.
Mm-hmm.
You got Newark, or is it New Jersey? It's Prudential Center. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
And somebody says that's how it's pronounced. I know, but guess how many times I've heard anybody say it?
Yeah, out loud, no, not a lot.
No, I thought it was Regina. Not in this, it wasn't. Not,
yeah, mm-hmm.
It wasn't. It's Regina.
It's Regina.
Regina.
Mm-hmm.
Skills That Kill says, do you think that AEW is missing out on the Gen Z cable cutters by not being on streaming? I do think they should be on streaming in some capacity. Yeah. They absolutely should be. But yeah, I think they should be trying to get on HBO Max. The next day rights should be on HBO.
Yep.
Darren Walker says, any news on the announced team for Collision? Not yet. I mean, I don't know that people have been told specifically where they're going to go yet. Chi-Town Spurs says, I love pro wrestling. Well, we love you. We got JB Love saying, can't help but feel that AEW's got a shot of adrenaline these last 2 weeks. Pretty sure that shot's name is Will F. in Washington. G Bro says, chalk one up for Will Washington, pro wrestling AF. Y'all got to stop this. Y'all are going to get him heat in the company, because I'll tell you this, there are people that don't understand that this is like in jest, giving Will credit for everything. That's why I stopped doing it. Mm-hmm. And you all are going to get him heat with people.
Don't do that.
I'm telling you. Jelly Canuck says, Collision's all across Canada except for Vancouver. I was surprised no Vancouver, Alex.
Yeah. They didn't go anywhere near that far west.
Vancouver had stuff that showed up to it about 15 years before its peak.
Right. They should do a show in Seattle, and then the next show should be in Vancouver. Just have everybody stay out in the Pacific Northwest, do the house show loop out there. And I mean, why not? Like, there's no reason. Once you got all the stuff out there, keep it out there for a week, drive up to Vancouver. It'll be nice.
G Bro says, I live 1.5 hours from Regina, never seen wrestling. There are so many puns to be made there that I can't even just think of one to say.
Mm-hmm.
Would Warner even indulge in kayfabe? Yeah, probably. Yeah, I mean, I think so.
I mean, kayfabe is just a carny term that helps you to make more money. Like, you're telling me WBD isn't in the business of trying to make as much money as possible? If they've been told by people that they trust within AEW that they'll make more money somehow by holding off a week and lying about whether or not CM Punk has nothing to do with Collision. Like, if they think they'll make more money by doing that, of course they'll do that.
Regarding Collision commentary, Anime Otaku says Veda had a pick with Will. She did. I straight up asked her, and she goes, "I came to visit only, I swear." Mm-hmm. And I said, "Yeah, well, I'm telling." So there you go. Tom LaValle says, "No credit for Will, but that cow, California." Legitimately, though, okay. I would. Very clever. I would love to see Veda Scott involved in commentary. Yes. I wouldn't mind seeing Renee get another crack at it, but not in a three-person booth. No. A lot of people criticize her for her work in WWE. Third person in a three-person booth does not get a word in edgewise. Yeah. You say, "Whoa," and mm-hmm. just repeat a couple things.
Yeah.
Puckhead says, "Is Colt still contracted to ROH? If the plan is to tape ROH before Collision, is that another potential conflict looming? Keep up the great work, all you do in Fightful day in and day out." Just, you know, move him over. Move him over, have him work ROH the days that Punk isn't there.
Mm-hmm.
Solved. But yes, he is. Amir says, "Why didn't Tony just call the Saturday show AEW Ring of Honor if he was going to do a hard split?" If WBD wanted Ring of Honor, mm-hmm. they would have Ring of Honor.
They'd have it.
That's the long and short of that. If they wanted it, they'd have it. Jambeard says, "I want the Collision team to be Mauro, Nigel, and Veda." Nigel's a good shout. I think that's mm-hmm. a good one. I mean, you know, Jim Ross is probably going to finish up in about 6-7 months whenever his deal is up. I don't know what Tony Schiavone's deal is like. And I mean, just the resurgence that he has had is great. But he's also like 65, 66. And he said in the past, you know, not getting any younger type of thing. But they have Taz. They have Excalibur. They've got a couple solid mm-hmm. names there already. I think it's good to add some younger names to that as well. Yeah. I think Veda Scott would be a great one to
she'd be very good.
Jambert says all the Canada dates show that the Owen Hart tournament will be on Collision along with the finals in Calgary during the Stampede. Yes, so FightfulSelect.com, I'm going to be plugging it all night long. In our Q&A show, we often got asked about the Owen tournament, and what I had said was it's happening in Canada throughout Canada. That's what I had been told. Adam Roberts says, "It must be exhausting, always rooting for the anti-hero." He spent a good amount on that super chat. Thank you, Adam. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Adam, for that. Thank you to Luis for collecting all these, by the way. Grayman says, "Peaches and Herb SMS, did CM Punk send you love?" Hey, guys. Have you ever wondered what happened to the legendary Chuck Norris? I saw a video he made and I was shocked. He is in his 80s. Still kicking butt, working out, staying active. He looks like he's got more energy, can work out longer, even has plenty of that energy left over for his grandkids, and he did this by making one change. He said that he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even started doing this thing too. She's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger, her body looks leaner, has energy all day. And Chuck's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their health. Staying active is important. Moving around keeps you feeling good. Making sure that you take care of your gut health, your digestion, just overall, is also very important. Right now, you can go to mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Watch Chuck's video right now. That's mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Check out what Chuck Norris has to say. What's got him feeling so good these days? He explains everything, and you won't believe how simple it is.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I don't understand the significance.
Anyway.
Is it soda or pop? AEW needs a feud to decide it. It was pop when I was younger. Now that I am older and have new money, it is soda, Alex.
Yeah. I think for a long time we did the full name when I was a kid.
Soda Pop.
Soda Pop.
Okay.
But now the more I think about it, I think it's soda. Yeah.
Patchy Rick says, SRS, don't forget, if you have the tier 2 $10 in Fightful Select, you could have already heard the Ospreay interview. That's right. I don't advertise this a lot, but on tier 2 of Fightful Select, I do post our interviews early up there, a few days early. So check that out. We also post the Fightful Wrestling Weekly. You'd be surprised at how many people that I know that like they don't have notifications turned on. They just subscribe to tier 2. Then on Sunday, Monday, they read the collection of stories from the week prior. They listen to the backstage report, and then they check in a week later. Cam Watson says, good morning, gents. Sean, with you coming to the UK multiple times this year, are we going to see you break some people on No Rolls Barred? Maybe break Ollie with that brutal DDT of yours. You know, I would like to grapple with Ollie Davis. I really would. Mm-hmm. No Rolls Barred is some of the most fun I ever had on camera. It was... Have you ever played Spyfall, Alex?
No.
It was a good time. You and about 8 or 9 other people, you try to figure out who was the spy in a certain room, and you have to ask a bunch of questions to determine who is and isn't the spy.
Interesting.
And I had a strategy. I wasn't going to win, so what I was going to do was just convince people I was the spy every good single idea. Time. I was. Idea. And they voted for me numerous times. Uh-huh. And by the end, they're like, well, it's not Sean. And it was. Then it was.
Ah,
it was very manipulative. It was a fun time, but I hope so. Eloquent says, about to hop on a flight to Italy. Wanted to send some love to Fightful. Great episode of Dynamite. Want to send some love to Eloquent. I've been listening to his vinyl a lot lately that he sent to me. Really, really enjoy that. Safe travels. We've got Josh saying, guys, can you get into the show because of a certain Chicagoan being in the news, this company, 1 foot forward, 2 steps back. Yeah, but that didn't have a lot to do with this show necessarily, which Ricardo says effing ruled, especially the end. Let's get into it. We've been in 20 minutes and we haven't even covered the show yet.
Yep.
Wardlow cuts a promo. He is confronted by Christian and Luchasaurus. Luchasaurus ends up attacking him as Wardlow stops a big spit to the face. Arn Anderson's backstage, and he's like, "Yeah, Arn Anderson out here not getting any suspensions."
No,
when he's waving the Glock around, but John Morant,
apparently he's going to get splintered for like half a season, maybe.
Yeah, but Arn Anderson can just do this damn thing.
Yep.
Long and short of it, Wardlow challenges Christian to a ladder match at Double or Nothing. And that is absolutely my shit, Alex.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you think?
A nice one-on-one ladder match is nice. I'm seeing a lot of people like, oh, good. This way Christian can win and it'll protect Wardlow. I'm like, I mean, okay, yes. And I theoretically the idea of Christian as TNT champion being protected by a dinosaur is a very good idea. I think would Wardlow at that point be a 3-time champion who's never held the belt for like, I mean, it feels like every TNT championship reign he would have had would have felt like lackluster for some reason. Like he becomes the TNT champion the first time and it always feels like they never really go anywhere with it. Then he loses to Samoa Joe and then he gets it back, but then he loses it immediately to Hobbs, but he gets it back, but then he loses it almost immediately to Christian. I don't know. I want to see Wardlow come out of this in a strong way because I think he's still really over. I think he's still a guy you want to keep around and build for the future to be one of your top stars. I like Christian and I like the idea of him with the dinosaur. If you're gonna use this to put the title on Christian, I want to make sure Wardlow comes out of it all right.
Meat Norman says, I like the way the meat slapping was threaded throughout the show. I'd prefer Wardlow and Luchasaurus to just have a match, but a ladder match is cool too. Yeah, but I think that we're going to see them slap meat a little bit more.
Yeah.
Orange Cassidy, Darby Allin defeated Big Bill and Lee Moriarty. If there's one thing I hope that Collision provides, it is more Lee Moriarty and Big Bill, because Big Bill has never been better. In my opinion,
yes,
Lee Moriarty just keeps getting better. Like, look at him physically and in the ring, where he was when he got signed. He has improved physically. I constantly hear about him taking in seminars and improving in the ring. Already a phenomenal performer, and he's always looking to improve. And I love hearing that. Big Bill is a TV wrestling star, and I'm ready to see them do something a little bit more. Man, this crowd was really into Big Bill and Lee Moriarty cheating. Like, really, really reacting to it. Cassidy and Darby are getting the win here. We knew that, but I thought this was pretty good stuff. Putting two of your top on-screen baby faces in the same ring with each other.
I have never seen this before, and I really enjoyed it. Big Bill, it locks up in a collar and elbow tie-up with Darby, and then just swings him around a few times and lets him fly. That was
great. You know what this reminded me of? I don't know if you remember ECW One Night Stand 06, when they were starting to form that ECW roster, and it became clear Kurt Angle was going to be on the roster. Some WWE people were going to be on that roster. And the Big Show walks out during that show, and everybody was like, "Ah." Then he grabs Tony Mamaluke in a Cobra clutch, like breaks him over his knee and just slings him across the ring. And everybody went, well, if it's going to be like that, sure. Unfortunately, it wasn't like that whatsoever. That was the peak. But that's what that reminded me of. It was very cool. Tom LaValle says, give me Moriarty versus Shibata for the pure title. I would get the hose. In that situation.
Good stuff.
Cassidy and Allen get the win. But what I love is after this, backstage, I'm a sucker for a battle royal, Alex. They always suck.
I know
suck.
You are. Yep.
They always suck. Always.
They're always bad.
Don't care. I love them. I love them. When I wrestled on the shindy circuit, Alex, what would always happen is four or five people are no-showing that shitty show, and you got to throw everybody in the ring for a battle royal at the end. And some unbelievable fun is had in those. Obviously, these are far more produced, but Orange Cassidy straight up says, you know what? I got 20 people that want a shot at my title. All right. I'll face them all. So there's going to be 21 people in it. Blackjack Battle Royal. Well, unless you want in, Renee. And Renee's like, I'm good. I dig this. I like this. I know you probably aren't keen on it, but I'm a sucker for Battle Royals. I love them.
Well, like, I don't know. Like, it's one of those things of, you know, the early parts of a battle royal are usually just chaos. There's usually not a lot of stuff that is meaningful or interesting in those. But when it's going to get down to, like, the last six or seven dudes, with Orange obviously last among them as well, like, then it becomes something really fun. Because I believe they're going to strategically pick the best possible six dudes to have in there with Cassidy to do some really fun stuff. I'm hoping for some really cool eliminations once we get to that point. I fully anticipate Orange winning. I would actually think it would be kind of a cheat to have him lose in this kind of a match. After all of the amazing matches he's had, singles matches against all comers, 21 in a row or something that he's won, having him lose the title here so he's gonna win this, but I believe it would be a lot of fun to see how he does. And then I think that he should probably lose the next singles match he has after this. I don't know who that's gonna be. My hope is Miro, but we'll see from there.
I can tell you three surefire things in wrestling that do views. Arm wrestling.
Yep.
Indian-born wrestlers making their debuts.
Mm-hmm.
And a battle royal. Those social clips do crazy numbers, man. Mm-hmm. You book all three on one show. If you book Satnam Singh arm wrestling people over the top rope, nothing but money. Nothing That's but right. money. Duckman says, has AEW done a battle royal for a title yet? If not, that could actually be fun. You know, it's a shame. In normal circumstances, I could text Will Washington and ask him this, but I can't do that.
I don't believe the title has ever been on the line in a battle royal in AEW. I could be wrong. If it is, then it was like in 2020 or something.
Yeah. We've got Eternally Lost saying, I love the aggressiveness of Blood Orange Cassidy. Mm-hmm. Me too. He knows how good he is now, and I like that. It's how a champion should evolve. Jambeard says, I think we need to hear Darby tell Sean what he thinks of the other four pillars.
Jungle Jack Perry, I think you're very talented. Sammy Guevara, you can do flips. There's this me, and I'm very depressed. And MJF, I hate your guts. What I want to do is just fight Malakai Black. There you go. That's good.
You truly sound like you have saved up your money from working at Spencer's Gift for the last 6 months to get the platinum package for the When We Were Young festival. You really do.
It's true.
JB Love says, not crazy about them burying Bryce. Me too. I don't like a lot of burying the referees.
I think
referees should be authoritative by and large. That way, the rare instance you want interference, it means a lot. Jambeard says, final six in the Battle Royal to have OC, Garcia, Pac, Miro, Andrade, Scorpio, Sky. Yeah, and I mean, do you have a Joker in this? I would assume so, right? Like,
they're not calling it a casino battle royal.
Yeah.
So I don't know if there's going to be like, they're not, I don't know if they're going to do it in a, like it'd be interesting though, honestly, if it's 21 guys, right? You have, Orange start the match in there by himself. Then a suit comes in and another suit and another suit. That would make it 22 guys. But I like the idea of a Joker being added at the very end if you're going to do a casino battle royal style.
Gemini Season says, OC takes on all comers in Regina. Well, speaking of looking like they took on all comers, Roderick Strong defeated Chris Jericho in a Falls Count Anywhere match. And this was a wonderful swerve to me because Yas and Adam Cole were banned from the arena and Falls Count Anywhere, you could see it coming from a mile away. They're going to end up outside, and you figure Yas is going to do the interfering. Oh, but it wasn't. It was Adam Cole.
Mm-hmm.
This is after Roderick Strong and Jericho brawled throughout the arena. I love this. Take me out of the in-ring area. Show me backstage areas we haven't seen. I wish you would have at least one of these. Not this type of match, but this type of segment. Like, I remember when... like Mark Henry would be at the strip club or something.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, like you would do stuff at the airport, anything to take us out of that same scenario over and over again. And that's what we saw here. There was Mr. Softy that got all over Roderick Strong and Chris Jericho. This was fun. This felt like the sports entertainment aspect of Yas that I wanted to see. What did you think about this match, Alex? I know you're typically a pretty hard critic of Chris Jericho.
All I will have to say is, and if you are having trouble with your Mr. Softy, well, then you need Lucha Code Fightful. When they did the spot on the stairwell with that ledge, and I was like, this is all problems. This felt like I feel like if one of them had slipped, that Aubrey wasn't enough to break their fall.
Yeah.
That was cool, but felt dangerous. As soon as they went into the concourse, I was like, well, this is where they go outside and Adam Cole is there. The reason I believed it was gonna be Adam Cole the whole time was because it was Roddy's idea from the beginning. We're gonna have a Falls Count Anywhere match. I got this contract signed that says your boys can't be there. The whole thing was a setup from the very beginning from Adam Cole and Roddy Strong to get Chris Jericho outside to have Adam Cole attack him, which I thought was really well done. And yeah, this is good. We're probably getting another one-on-one Adam Cole versus Chris Jericho match. I'm almost certainly will be added to Double or Nothing. Good stuff.
I thought this was fun. I loved the edge. I loved that little ledge area. That was fun. That was a good time for me. I was like, okay, this was different enough. And like I said, I like being taken out of that situation, out of the same scenario that we see all the time. Alex Marvez interviews the Bucks. They are attacked by the BCC. I just loved how they threw their luggage. Mm-hmm. They're like, man, hell with it.
You'd have caught that flush in the temple.
He sure did.
Yeah.
He sure did. We will get back to this later on. Mm-hmm. Sammy Guevara defeated Exodus Prime. Very quick match. And one of his better promos afterwards, too. It felt very real. It felt... Mm-hmm. It felt true. It wasn't the I'm trying to get anybody with zingers. That isn't his game.
No. Yeah.
The reality is he worked very hard for very little money, specifically where he was tonight.
Yes. Yeah.
And I know that a lot of people look at him and they don't think that. Mm-hmm. But people also look at him and they still see the Sammy that got hired or the Sammy that was in Evolve. The man turns 30 this year.
Yeah.
Like he's not a child. Nope. So I thought this was a very good promo that we later see play into something else. But this was something that I think that Sammy needed. And I think that him doing a babyface promo actually works because MJF is enough heel for the whole thing right now. MJF is in his reign of terror. So I think that everybody else babyfacing is a good idea here.
Yeah. Well, I'll reserve judgment until we see how it plays out in that match. I'm not surprised they had him baby facing it up in Austin, where he's from and everyone there knows him. Sure. He's got a lot of friends in the audience. That made sense to me. It does feel like all of the taped stuff they did around Full Gear last year, when they were having the real Sammy Guevara, like tearing up, talking about like, you know, oh my God, here it is. This is the building where I used to do all my Wrestle Circus stuff. I'm in Austin. It's crazy to be back here. And I'm here with my mom and my wife. And I can't believe it's really happening for me. Like all that stuff was real for him, but it was taped in November and December. And now they're like, hey, you know that stuff you've been watching on AEW All Access? Well, now he's a babyface for real. And I don't know that I quite buy the switch. Because a couple weeks ago, he was willing to lay down for MJF for a sum of money. And so I would like to see more of the progression there. I'm willing to watch more progression from here out. And I'm willing to see how he plays it during the match at Double or Nothing. Because it is a switch. I mean, he's been, you know, a fervent member of the very heelish Yas since its inception, and now he's breaking away from that persona. So I don't know. I'm not exactly sure if I love it, but I don't hate it.
I thought tonight was a good explanation of that. He's like, I'm not laying down for MJF. He's a piece of shit. Mm-hmm. I see that. I've always kind of seen that. And one of us needs to be champion. One of us. Now, that's going to be their undoing. And he did show that backstage, he did show that he's willing to help them physically, because we had Jack Perry defeating Roosh. We'll go ahead and talk about that. You know, I was a little concerned that Jack Perry would get booed in Texas against Roosh, because Texas has loved Roosh.
Right.
And I thought that this could have played into the personality traits that we needed to see out of all of them, where Sammy is this piece of shit and needs to show a little bit more of a redeemable quality. And Jack Perry has been told by MJF over and over again, you've got no edge, or else you'd be as good as me. If you had any of this, you would. Mm-hmm. I thought that Jack Perry would need to show that against Roosh, because maybe the crowd would sort of go for him and he would need to turn into that. Instead, that's not necessarily what we saw. We saw LFI attack after this match, which was, you know, a solid match. And the three pillars ended up making the save, but Jack Perry and Roosh beat the snot out of each other too.
Yes. Perry as well. But the beginning of it to me was just Roosh actively trying to commit murder via throwing a man's body into the barricades. I've never seen anybody get hucked into the barricades that hard. Like that was obscene and great in a lot of ways. I thought this was great. I think that Roosh could really benefit from a brand split as well. He feels like that guy who, when you have everybody on one show, ends up just kind of mired in like upper mid card hell. But if you split the rosters, all of a sudden, maybe he gets a push. Maybe he gets a singles title in there. If Andrade is truly back and they're on the Collision together, maybe you make them a tag team, have them face FTR once FTR gets away from Jarrett and Lethal in 2025, apparently. But like this was a really fun match. Perry having to resort to grabbing the tights because he just had to get the hell out of this match because Roosh was beating the tar out of him. It's this four pillars thing. I think we'll be able to more adequately judge the full program once that match is over, because I don't expect any of these guys to win the match, but I think the match will tell a very interesting story within the match among these three guys and MJF that I think will be able to put everything into stark relief.
I like seeing them work together. I love seeing Darby use the reverse DDT, the Scorpion Death Drop. Uh-huh. Just love that as well.
Yeah.
Jamie Hayter is injured. FightfulSelect.com reported tonight that this is a legit injury. So she was not in action as the Outcasts took on Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, and Hikaru Shida. The Outcasts get the win, and as it proves, that makes an awful lot of sense because Storm challenged Hayter for the belt. Now, I haven't heard of her status beyond this week, Jamie Hayter.
Right.
But I love this match for Double or Nothing. I am always going to be there for that. You have the woman who was the interim champion before they promoted her to undisputed champion retroactively and a champion, but
yeah.
Storm has something that she can bring up. Like, she never got to hear herself announced as right. as world champion. But what do you think of the match or the match booking before we get into the actual match?
Especially if this is where you're going with it. A Toni Storm versus Jamie Hayter one-on-one thing at the Pape. Then having them win this match makes a lot of sense.
They're adding Jade and Taya as well to Double or Nothing.
Okay. What doesn't make sense to me is the I'm going to spray you in the face with spray paint, and then the ref just counting the three, no matter how much spray paint is all over the face of a person he's looking at who's not kicking out. And I've never loved that. Like, you really got to do a great job of hiding the face of the person you misted, or in this case, sprayed paint into the face of. And I don't think they did a really good job of that. But I mean, that's a minor quibble. The match was fine. If we're gonna get, like, I think heel Toni Storm has been a lot of fun to watch. If Hayter is gonna be healthy enough for the match to happen, then I think this could be really good. Especially Hayter's got this thing where she's just so damn powerful. You know what I mean? It doesn't feel like anything really phases her. So if you're going to be able to play into, I've got a hurt shoulder. I mean, she's cleared. She's ready to go. That's fine. There's no danger of her re-injuring it. Then, yeah, play that story up during the match of Jamie Hayter can't be super powerful girl anymore. She's got to actually wrestle the match and Toni Storm trying as hard as she can to injure that shoulder over and over again. It's going to be good.
Outcast against Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, and Shida. The crowd was into this. Every time Britt Baker takes a pin, I feel like she's making a point.
Could be.
I feel like could every be. Pin she takes, she's like, look, Rosa, look at me. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm going to be fine. Now, doubt it, but she does show the person that she criticizes the most.
Yes.
Ain't hurting me to lose to somebody who's going to challenge for the title.
That's right.
And she did take the pin. This is fun. Evangelina Gray says, proud of my city, showed up strong for the women's tag match. Also, BCC versus the Elite is my all my favorite people in one match. Can't wait. I was very, very happy with the reaction to mm-hmm. Sheeta tonight, especially Alex. This is what you want to see from this crowd.
Yeah. Sheeta's great, and it's so good to have her back. So good to have her as a major part of what's going on here with the top few in the women's division. She's excellent. She's a fantastic pro wrestler, and it's great to see the crowd giving her a good reaction.
JB Love says Sheeta can F and go always. Man, she's incredible. She is incredible, and we're gonna finally see her get a big push in front of people. And that's what I'm excited to see. Chris says, are we ever going to get Baker turning on Jamie ever? Yeah, of course. At some point, we're going to get that turn. It will happen. Yeah. We're not talking like the New Day here. Like they were put together for probably the eventual reason of them splitting.
Yeah.
Jane Beard says, hoping we get something like a cage match between, well, this is a completely wrong place for that super chat. So I'm going to have Luis fix that. But you know what the Outcasts like? Alex.
What are they like?
The color green.
Ah, it's true.
Big fans of the color green.
They love it.
So am I. When it's athleticgreens.com/Fightful. Get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs when you go to athleticgreens.com/Fightful. I always tell you guys, you want to drink your multivitamin. It absorbs a lot better. And right now, foundational nutrition you can count on comes with AG1. One daily serving gives you a comprehensive blend of 9 products. We're talking a multivitamin, minerals, probiotics to help that preventative care, adaptogens, antioxidants, and a lot more. Like I said, drink 8 ounces of water with 1 scoop of AG1. You're good to go for the day. Fill those nutritional gaps in your diet, promote gut health, support immunity with your daily dose of vitamin C, zinc, and functional mushrooms, and you boost your energy naturally, so you'll be able to decrease some of that caffeine intake. It also helps with recovery. So whether or not you're just, maybe you got manual labor you're doing, maybe you're working out hard, AG1 is packed with superfoods, adaptogens, and antioxidants that is trusted by the world's best endurance athletes, trusted by doctors as well. You had Dr. Andrew Huberman, who says he's been using it since 2012. And one of my favorite things, speaking of 2012, since then, they have changed their formula over 55 times, adapting with science to find out what's best for you. Immunity support, digestive support, energy and metabolic support, all with Athletic Greens AG1. Go to athleticgreens.com/Fightful. Get that free 1-year supply of vitamin D3 plus K2 and 5 free travel packs. athleticgreens.com/Fightful. Take that stuff every day. I am feeling really good. I don't think I would have been able to DDT Shaza McKenzie without it. JW Pringle says Alex's Reservoir Dogs shirt is amazing.
They're literally Reservoir Dogs. It's a great shirt.
That is a good shirt.
Yeah.
Jam Beard says, Sean, you must be in one of the Blood on the Clock Tower with the people from No Rolls Barred. You as the demon would be fantastic. I'm not familiar with that series, but I'll go there for a day, and whatever they tell me to film, I'll film. JB Love says, did everything look brighter tonight, or is it me in a good way? Well, for me, it actually didn't, because there were a couple cavernous areas in the back that I could tell maybe tickets weren't sold in. Mm-hmm. If I were them, I would put a light there. Also, they weren't using the red, white, and blue ropes this week. They were using the black ropes again. Mm-hmm. And that kind of dims it for me a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
Spencer says, loves to see AEW and WWE thriving. So good to have too. Damn right it is, man. Also, you got New Japan Resurgence this weekend. Lots of good shows. ShotKid29 has been campaigning for Veda, Ian, and Nigel to be on the commentary team for Collision. Kills two birds with one stone with the ROH tapings, too. Yeah, I just wonder if they want to keep that ROH sound unique to ROH. But, I mean, relatively speaking, not a lot of people are watching that show. So if I were them, I would try to get Ian Riccaboni involved more. He's wonderful. Yeah,
he's great.
Ultimately, you got to have some input from Warner as well, though. We've got Grayman Media saying Turner's been in kayfabe business since 74. Alex, I'm surprised you didn't know that. This ain't your grandpa's Turner anymore.
No, nope.
It isn't. Also shocked that Dark Side of the Ring hasn't done the 74 Atlanta War yet. Boy Stalling says, any news on Statlander returning? Maybe Double or Nothing. I don't know. I mean, I've said this tons of times. She's been at the tapings quite a bit. Yeah. I have been to three different tapings and just run into her. So, and that's been since she was injured. JB says, Alex as Admark was one of his best characters. And Vasco says, the women's match humped. Glad it was in the first hour. It was very good. Yeah. It was very good. I'll tell you what also is very good. However, Alex is going to react to this next segment because I love it and he doesn't. FTR do a promo, but a fight breaks out and Karen Jarrett's here.
Yep.
The woman who brought Braun Strowman to his knees. Begging, please don't hurt me. Karen Jarrett. Jan Beard says, why the crap is Karen Jarrett on my TV? Because she's great. Darren says, watching Karen Jarrett make her debut pop me like Hulk Hogan in 85. And Jake Sourzar says, welcome to Planet Jarrett. Long may we live in it. Now we got Double Jarrett. Tony Khan. Will, you know what? I won't even ask you because I know who's really in charge. A plea to Will Washington. Give her the graphic. Give her the graphic. Come on. Let's see it. Karen Jarrett. This big-ass fight. How'd you feel, Alex?
I'm gonna pay attention. And I'm going to mark down the date that Jeff Jarrett and Jay Lethal wrestled their last match in AEW. And then every year on that date, I'm going to throw a party in remembrance of the anniversary of the last time I ever have to see them. I'm so done with all of this and all of everything. Adding his wife in it makes it worse. Like the idea of FTR being street smart enough to run out and knock Satnam Singh off the stage through a table and then beat the tar out of Lethal. Dax ripped Jake Lethal's entire wardrobe off of him. They beat up Jarrett, and then they sit there waiting for 25 seconds to do that damn big rig shatter machine thing, and nobody thinks to look around behind him. This is dumb. We were talking about Big Bill and Lee Moriarty. That's one of six teams I could name I'd rather be the program for FTR right now. Another team, hey, have Darby pull double duty. Have Orange pull double duty. That tag team rules. Have them versus FTR. Have Butcher and the Blade. You name them, I'd rather have that team against FTR than Jarrett and Lethal. I'm done with all of this. They've had four tag team title matches since January 1st. What kind of blackmail do they have on Tony Khan? It's too much. It's too much, man. I'm just done with it. I don't want to see it anymore.
Chris says that Jeff is the best heel in AEW. He was featured in the upfronts as well. Jake Sourzar says, how dare you disrespect the king of the mountain? Well, MJF disrespected Renee Paquette, slapped the mic right out of her hand, Alex.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I like this because this can play a number of ways. Moxley can naturally be pissed about this as well. But this is easy heel stuff for MJF. Pick on Renee. Everybody loves Renee. I'm going to give you guys a little secret. If you don't like Renee, you're an asshole. You're the problem. You're the problem here. Whatever problems you're having in life, it's your problem. You caused it because you don't like Renee Paquette.
Yeah.
Chris says, the only problem with the Four Pillars match is it doesn't feel like a main event to me. It does to me, because I think in the ring, it's going to be one of the greatest matches in AEW history. I really, really believe that. Alex, what did this segment do for you, and how are you feeling about that as a main event?
It made me think that, like, Moxley's going to pull up on MJF next week.
Yeah.
I mean, like, guy who can't. Listen, I know I'm a heel and you're a heel, but I still hate you, and you can't do that to my wife. This is fine. It's one of those things of, like, MJF is contractually obligated to appear in Austin watching a TV and slapping a microphone out of Renee Paquette's hand. This is, I mean, him realizing, oh crap, all three of these guys are on the same page. We just have, they're going to make sure that one of them wins and not me. That does not spell good things for me. I only have one Dynamite diamond ring. I'm going to have to punch all three of them in the head with that thing to get the victory. You know, I don't know. It's tough.
Jake Sourzar says, Sean, how much I got to pay for Fightful to make a Wrestler of the Year award for Jeff Jarrett? Well, those are voted on by Fightful Select subscribers.
Stuff the ballot box, I guess.
I encourage you to get thousands of Fightful Select subscriptions and then vote as many times as you want. It is the rule is one vote per category per subscription. Mm-hmm. So if you want to subscribe 5,000 times, I encourage that. Please do it. Tom LaValle says, are you saying RJ City is an asshole? Yeah. Well, yeah. James Stallings, Statlander will dethrone Jade Cargill. Save this message. She seems to be the most popular prediction.
It does seem like that was the path they were on and have literally been just saving it for whenever she gets back. That's the way it seems, even if not true.
Yeah, there have been no, like, feuds with substance with Jade for quite a while. I mean, Taya is all right. Taya's fine, yeah. But Chi-Town Spurs needs more Brie Woo. Well, what you got was Jay White defeating Ricky Starks via DQ. I predicted that Jay White would win this match, and I was correct, Alex. And quite honestly, Ricky just got sick of the shit. He got sick of it and said to hell with it. Instead of losing this match via pinfall, which is inevitable, I'm just going to crack you over the back with a chair and call it a day. Not keen on this happening often, but this is very clearly a match bigger than the slot that it's in. I wouldn't doubt that it also gets added to Double or Nothing or maybe Zero Hour or something like that. I thought this was actually a pretty good use of a DQ finish after a fun match to continue this feud.
I don't understand why Ricky did it.
Why Ricky did it? Because he was just, he was sick of the shit, Alex.
I mean, I guess I have a very like a very defined set of things that I want the people I root for to do, and getting intentionally disqualified is not one of them. That's the heel business. That's what heels do. And I don't want Ricky. I didn't want Ricky doing that because it just felt like, I'm tired of having to try and actually beat you with moves. I will find a way out of this by hitting you with this chair. It just didn't feel like it felt odd. Like, I don't think it's basically bad. It didn't feel justified. It didn't feel like I've seen baby faces.
What? Juice Robinson was interfering the whole time.
Then he hit him with the chair and he got his revenge on the dude who was interfering. Then deciding to, in full view of the referee, also do it to the guy he's competing with, getting himself disqualified, felt, I don't know, weird, morally wrong. I don't know. It just felt odd. It didn't feel
morally wrong to me.
I understand.
Jay White was an accomplice to that shitty behavior.
Perhaps I have a more lofty moral compass than you do, but honestly, it doesn't matter. Because we're getting the match again, and that's the end result is the same. If Jay White hits Ricky Starks with the chair, we're getting the match again. Ricky Starks hits Jay White with the chair, we're getting the match again. The match was great. I want to see it again. I get what I want, even if I don't love Ricky Starks disqualifying himself on purpose. If I don't love it, I'm not saying I hate it. I'm saying I didn't fall in love with it in the moment. So now we're getting the match again. The match, the second time, is also going to be great. Hopefully it's in a steel cage to alleviate the whole Juice Robinson interfering thing. And then I will be very happy because that match will be awesome.
Well, Jambeard says, I'm hoping we get something like a cage match between White and Starks at the pay-per-view to keep Juice from getting involved. I just don't see the issue with it. Like, because Ricky was like, I'm not getting out of this unscathed. So instead of getting my ass whipped and pinned, I'll just lose the match without getting my ass whipped.
I think there was enough. I'm not having an argument with you, but I'm just like, if, in my mind, after he hit Juice with the chair, there's plenty of time for him to drop the chair and hit the Rochambeau and pin Jay White without having to hit him with the chair. Like, I just, he already hit the spear. You know what I mean? Like, he's got the match won. Mm. Hit Juice with the chair, drop the chair, then drop Jay White. You won the match. Like, hitting him with the chair defeats all of that possibility. That's it. Honestly, it doesn't matter. I'm not really that worked up about it. I just didn't love it.
I was going to say, this is giving real. I'm not that mad about it. Not me, not really vibes.
Yeah. Please don't put in the paper that I got mad. That's me right now. I am a drill tweet.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Ricardo, or actually Brent says, Jay White's thing is that he pisses off people until they lose all reason.
There you go.
He's done it with Okada, Tanahashi, Eddie, everyone. He is the master of, he is a cerebral assassin.
That's true. That helps.
JB Love says, Ricky put the gun fingers to his head at the end. Like, I did this to myself and it was worth it. That was clever gimmick play there. I like it. Jake Sourzar sends a $2 super chat, actually less than $2, to say, what if I donate $1,000? Let me rig the election. Listen, Jake, if you want to sponsor the Fightful Awards for the Jake Sourzar Wrestler of the Year for $1,000, we'll do that. We'll do that.
Go ahead.
You don't have to rig it. You can just sponsor your own award there.
Yeah.
By the way, if you want to sponsor this show and many others, especially this summer around July, hit up myself or Kate, as we are offering a whole lot of different packages that you guys can check out. We've got unfortunate news. Jane Beard says, RIP to the superstar, Billy Graham.
Yeah.
I've not heard anything from his family or any other companies besides AEW. I've been in contact with WWE who haven't necessarily confirmed it yet. Yeah. But you just hate hearing that. That sucks.
Yes. It does suck. It did feel odd as Chris Jericho and Roddy Strong are stuffing Mr. Softy into each other's face. It was a weird time to do it. Like, I feel like you could have carved out 30 seconds after the match to tell us,
I got people saying Ric Flair tweeted it out. Listen, sorry, guys. That ain't who I go to for my wrestling news. All due respect.
Yeah.
That ain't who I go to if I want to make sure that something is absolutely the case. That's just not how I feel. So lots of big announcements tonight. We got Collision. We got CM Punk news, a lot of stuff like that. And I got a lot of people saying, well, how am I going to watch Collision? We don't have international plans announced yet. Guess what? I got your international plan right here. NordVPN.com/Fightful lets you change your virtual location with just one click. So if you're somewhere that maybe doesn't get Collision, you can change your virtual location and watch it here in the quote-unquote States. You can also get pay-per-views at a much more affordable price, whether it's boxing, UFC, AEW. You can watch AEW without commercials if you live in the States by getting AEW Plus. You can watch this upcoming WWE pay-per-view on the old WWE network interface as well. And that's all with the fastest VPN in the world, a 30-day money-back guarantee, an ad blocker, secure and private access to the internet on all your devices, and all of your operating systems. So you can enjoy a fast and stable connection anywhere. You can get 63% off NordVPN, 3 extra months, and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Trust me, online privacy is worth the cost. And if you're a wrestling fan, this will pay for itself in no time. NordVPN.com/Fightful. I'm pulling these like 12 to 16 hour days at Fightful. So I am using this about 2/3 of my day, nonstop. I'm on this thing. And when I'm traveling, it is so important on those unsecured Wi-Fi connections. NordVPN.com/Fightful. See, I can be Julie Cutler with NordVPN.com/Fightful. She joins us for the AEW Double or Nothing post show coming up soon. Alex will have his review on FightfulSelect.com, so be sure to subscribe. And with AEW Collision officially announced, we'll plug this again. Ricochino, Iridian Fierro, Cresta the Star on the AEW Collision post show. I will definitely be joining the first night of that briefly. I'll be joining this show and several others as an insider here and there when applicable. And I've had people saying, well, we want your Collision review, we want your SmackDown review. I'll be doing a little bit of something this summer, starting like my brief thoughts on Collision or SmackDown. I might do it on the Backstage Report, might do a whole new show for it, but there will be some element of that added to FightfulSelect.com. And we announced today that starting with, which I don't even know if we'll have to wait until Collision to start this, the SmackDown post show on Fridays will now start at 10 p.m. Eastern. It will just be a SmackDown post show, and anything important from Rampage that needs to be covered will be covered on the Collision show, etc., etc. Ricardo says, Sheeta's English has gotten so much better. She's always had pretty good English, honestly. One of our most popular clips that we ever posted was her eating a Reese's cup.
It's true.
JB Love says, I don't always get to catch the EST feed, and it's a blast to get to share my Markish thoughts with you all. Big love to you guys and the whole Fightful fam. Well, we love just you coming by and sharing your thoughts with us. We pride ourselves on being the most interactive wrestling news source out there, whether it be on Select when you guys comment on stories or here on the post shows. But we are here every single weeknight, and now pretty soon every night but Sundays. And quite honestly, half of those every month will be here.
Yep.
So it's going to be Fightful nonstop. Also, I want to give love to Fightful Overbooked in the Weeds. I think that Joel Pearl and Jeremy Lambert have been kicking ass with that. They've been getting great guests from across wrestling. Like I said, hey, you guys should have Marty Garner on. He took a really righteous pedigree back in the day. He was on Final Deletion. They had him on 2 days later. I think that they are absolutely killing it, and you guys should watch that. It is the anchor, the flagship of the Fightful Overbooked brand, and they are doing a great job with it. Don Callis speaks. It is not often they have a promo main event, and they did here, and they did. They should have, but it really wasn't.
It really wasn't, though. It was just an angle, but it was a great angle.
It was a great angle. Omega runs out. He gets jumped by the BCC, but the Bucks come out hobbling, and here's Hangman Page with an eye patch, damn it. Something that Moxley knows all about.
Mm-hmm.
Our second biggest interview of all time is me interviewing Moxley with an eye patch and me with long hair, no product in it because I got to get it sawed off the next day.
Mm-hmm.
We got eye patch Hangman. JB Love says cowboy shit. Jambeard says Hangman is Jean-Pierre Lafitte. Ricardo, Hanger returning to the Elite was emotional. Isaiah says the boys are back together. Elite gang or don't bang. And, Master of Puppets says, Kenny Captain America, the F out of Yuta. He certainly did.
He did.
On being the Elite, Dark Order prevented Kenny from watching what happened with Hangman the Bucks at the end of Full Gear 2021, which is an important note, but this is great. The boys are back. And what I love, because Eloquent is saying, where did Takeshita go? There is still room to add a Takeshita swerve. Sure.
Yep.
And then Kota Ibushi. There's room to grow with this feud. It's not an immediate dead end like some other group feuds.
Yeah. They're doing an Anarchy in the Arena match.
Can't wait.
That's not going to be the last match in this feud at all. So, like, this is the beginning of it. It really is the beginning of it. So, we're going to get, I think, is a very good chance. We get our Takeshita swerve during the Anakin in the arena match, where he comes in and the Elite thinks he's there to help them, but he's actually there to help BCC. And then that probably tips the scales in favor of BCC. And now it's 5-on-4. So for the next time, we're going to get some gang wars in this feud. We got to bring in a fifth guy, Kota Ibushi. It's perfect. Got to do it. It's got to be done. I love this because you could tell as soon as the Bucks came out and it was like, well, now it's 3-on-4. Oh, well, if only they could even the odds. And then it's Hangman's music. Great. And he comes out. And I just love that it's because it's Hangman. You know, he was at the eye patch store today and he was talking to the clerk and he says, I really like that one, but does it come in taupe? Like, I need a nice saddle brown because it matches my outfit. He looks fantastic with the eye patch. It's a really great way, a hot angle to close the show. I love it. All we got was just Don Callis rambling. Like, there wouldn't even be a Kenny Omega if there wasn't a Don Callis. We didn't actually get any reason for it. We'll get that eventually. But the whole thing was a cover for the Hangman Page return by having Don Callis do a speaks segment. And I thought it was great. Love it.
Thought that was really great. Vasco says, we are the Elite. I lost at that point. Awesome. So, let's take a look at Double or Nothing and the card right now. And guys, get in your super chats, get in your humper chats. We are heading down the home stretch here. Leave a thumbs up. It would greatly help us out. I know it seems inconsequential, but it lets YouTube know that you like what we got. So Jade and Taya is going to be announced. You have the Blackjack Battle Royal for the international title. You have the Pillars Four-Way for the AEW title. FTR, Jarrett, Lethal for the tag titles. Mark Briscoe is a special referee. Wardlow and Christian, TNT title ladder match. Hayter versus Storm, women's world championship match. And Blackpool Combat Club versus the Elite, Anarchy in the Arena. Looks like we're going to get maybe Switchblade and Ricky Starks again as well. Shaping up to be a pretty damn good show. Almost everything has stakes in it. And I just wonder how the company looks in a few months. Will there be a hard brand split? I mean, I reported that this morning. A lot's happened since this morning.
Oh, a lot has, yeah.
And one or two important pieces not being around could make them go, maybe not. Maybe we don't do that hard split. Yeah. So, It's going to be really interesting to watch this unfold. Ricardo says, Mox ought to murder MJF right now. Poor Renee. And Jambeard says, for All In, do Brian versus Omega again. And All Out, do Golden Lovers versus Brian and Takeshita. Don't hate that idea. Don't hate that idea at all.
No, I don't either.
Also, Lucha Brothers versus Yuta and Claudio next week on Dynamite for the ROH tag titles, which seems like a thing that they could put on Ring of Honor.
It does. It does. I think
it's a great match, but
it's going to be a great match. I think that they could put it on Ring of Honor, and maybe in some circles they should. I think they're trying to make the Dynamite before the pay-per-view have some pay-per-view quality matches on it. People are in the chat talking about maybe Keith Lee versus Swerve gets added. Maybe House of Black versus the Acclaimed. That's where they finally do that match after the Acclaimed won the right to have an open house match with House of Black. Maybe they do that on the Zero Hour. I don't know what there's a lot of stuff that they have available to pad out the card or to pad out the Dynamite before.
We got Mark saying, Sean, what do you think the likelihood that Collision will air on Fight in the AEW package? Is that for some reason unlikely? Different markets have different setups for that, but Fight seems to be like their fail safe there. Anthony says Trios title match at Double or Nothing. The Daddy Ass and Acclaimed one does seem like the safe one. Yeah. Irene says, why was Collision the only thing announced at the upfronts with the latest on a TV streaming deal? The last I had heard, as FightfulSelect.com reported last week, this was just a Collision deal. The Dynamite and Rampage ones, I believe, still have a year option on them that can be picked up, which I'm sure will be.
Yeah.
JP says, do you think that we are the heart and soul of this company? Part of the Hangman speech was a little shot at Punk. Maybe, but he has done so good at removing himself from that situation. I mean, since before Punk even came out and called him out, Hangman was doing his best to remove himself. Like, if you go back and listen or watch an interview he did with Nick Houseman, Nick kind of asks him about it, and he's like, I don't really want to talk about that. Mm-hmm. He has truly come out. I mean, from a professional standpoint,
yeah.
I think that Hangman Page has come out the best, because even if you could pin that first comment on him, since then he has just removed himself from it so much and is just like, I just want to make my money, do my job type of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Guys, thank you all so much. Alex, tell the people where they can find you and what you got going on.
You can find me on the Twitter at Alex Sour Graps. You can find me on the Blue Ski as well, on the Blue Sky.
Blue Sky, I'm on there too.
Yeah, although I don't really do much on there yet. That's just like a fallback in case Twitter explodes one day. Then find me over on the Blue Ski. Also on FIFO Select, reviewing SmackDown and Rampage. We'll have to figure out what that's going to be come the whole Collision thing. I'm not really sure how that's going to work. But this Friday, certainly reviewing SmackDown. And Double or Nothing next weekend. But also, because they're doing a Saudi show, we're doing our Sands of Blind, where I don't watch the Saudi shows, but Kate does. And then she comes on and she tells me everything that happened, but I have to decide whether or not she's lying to me. And it's a lot of fun. People seem to love those shows. We're doing another one for Night of Champions. That'll be great. And then, of course, we're reviewing Raw on Cypher Select as well with the great Miss Kate Fabe.
Tyrone Kidd says, hey guys, the Shaza Destroyer and Mr. Palowski, great show, great news. Favorite part of the show is the slow deterioration of OC. Worst part is Karen Jarrett. Aw. And Tyrone Kidd says, know your flick, by the way. Great channel to watch if you haven't seen it yet. Disappointed at Alex because he failed to give Ming-Na Wen / Mulan her flowers in SF the movie review, Alex.
Oh, no, I thought she's great. She's great in the movie. They unnecessarily bench her at the end where she's been trying for 20 years to get revenge on M. Bison. And then she's literally from here to the end of the room. And Van Damme goes, hey, go release the hostages. She's like, okay, sir. And I feel like that's too bad for her. They should have given her the opportunity to kick his ass again. But it was fun, man.
Please leave a thumbs up, guys. We're here every night. Subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. We're out.